Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Dean Pepper was recently returned as chairperson for the Coburg Police Services Board. That may not seem like big news, yet Pepper has served on various boards and committees overseeing policing for more than 30 years. That's a long time. He was on the Protection Services Committee back in the 1980s and 90s when he was a member of Coburg Council. Then he stepped back from politics. Yet when the new Police Services Board was formed in 1992, he was selected by the provincial government to sit on it. Not long after, he took another break until 2017. When he returned as the Coburg Council appointee to the Police Services Board. During most of that time, he was chairperson. In today's interview, Pepper reflects on his long service, the changes and future of policing in Coburg. He will also talk about the board's past year. He will discuss the recent decision to approve body cameras for frontline officers. He will talk about the police budget and its highly profitable background check operation. Pepper will also talk about efforts to deal with the opioid crisis and policing efforts to clean up neighborhoods in the town. I'm so pleased to have on the phone with me now the chair of the Police Services Board, Dean Pepper. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you, Rob.
I want to congratulate you on your recent election as chair of the Police Service Board for 2022, Dean. You've been chair a long time, and you've been involved with the police board for a long time. I think going back when I arrived in 1988, you were a counselor on for the town of Coburg, and I believe you were sitting on the police committee at that time. How do you feel, you know, having been on it for so long? I think you did it until you left politics, and then you came back in 1992 when the police boards were being formed, and I think Brian Baxter did it for a while, and then you came back. How long have you actually been serving as a member of the Police Services Board?
Well, you're correct, Rob. When I was on town council, there was there was no police service boards at that time. It was a committee of council. The police act was a little different back then. And then they changed the police act where there was no more committees of council. Every municipality with its own police service had to have police service board. So I did it for a number of years while I was on council. It was a protection services committee. So that was a while in that position. And then when they decided to change the police act and form the first police service board, I left council at that time, and I applied to set up the first police service board here in Coburg, and I got the provincial appointment to do so. That took me to probably from 1990 to 2000, I would say. And then I did other things until about 4 years ago. Brian Baxter was the chair, and unfortunately he passed away. Good friend of mine, everybody knows Brian, who was the Town of Coburg CEO. The mayor came to me at that point in time to fill Brian's vacancy, which was a 10-month left to go, and I said I would do that, and after that was over, the town pointed me to the board as their community representative for this year of council that we're in now.
What is it that keeps you so interested, so engaged?
Well, that's the way I usually do things, Rob. I mean, I've known you for a long time, and if I take it on, I'm completely engaged in whatever I are challenged with.
What is the biggest change or changes you have witnessed in all the time that you've served with the police board?
Well, it used to be simpler back in the 90s, but now with so many people with, you know, smartphones and videos and social media, and people have a better insight or knowledge of really what the police are doing, and they're able to speak out a little easier in that. So it's probably the biggest change I've seen.
Do you see that as a positive?
I do. I think it's a positive. I think the community has to have trust in the police and vice versa. That's why the board has taken so long to, in its moving forward with the body-worn cameras. That's a big issue with us right now. And so that brings us, you know, pretty well face to face with the day-to-day movement of any police officer. So, and you have to have public trust, accountability to operate a police service, because the police need the public and the public need the police. So it's a team effort.
I'm glad you raised the body cameras, because I definitely want to talk to you about that. The approval of the body cameras for frontline Coburg officers seemed to take a long time. The issue was before the Police Services Board multiple times. A vote to approve was delayed, and then it took a special meeting to give it final approval. Why, Dean, was the process so drawn out?
Well, it's a big step in policing. Here in Canada, it's expensive, and you really have to have the trust of the community. So we started looking at body-worn cameras actually back in the summer of 2020 with public consultations with the board to make decisions to support community safety and excellence in here in Coburg. And we've had a number of surveys regarding body-worn cameras. And through the surveys, we heard the community's insights and perceptions about the beliefs on body-worn cameras and how they could help inform the police this next step. So we did a number of surveys with very good response, actually, and people were quite in favor of them. We had some issues with people said it would... issues with privacy and things like that. So, I mean, when you take on a project of this scope and it has to be right for the community, the board was certainly willing to take the time to make the right decision.
Well, you said a number of things that I think are really key, and I'd like to talk a little bit more about them. And when you started off with your answer, you said this was a big step. What made it such a big step? Can you give us the details of what was going on in the minds of the board members that made it such a big leap forward?
Well, first of all, it's the public's perception of body-worn cameras. There's people out there thinking Big Brother's always watching them, et cetera, et cetera. So, and the privacy of them, when they're deployed, is another issue, and all that will be covered in the services policies and procedures of the use of body-worn cameras. But there's people that don't want to be on video. There's you know, Big Brother's watching. I don't need any more cameras. There's cameras everywhere you go nowadays, and there was a lot of people that didn't want their interaction with police on video. But they were the minority. The majority certainly supported us in the deployment of these body-worn cameras.
How much does it cost?
It's approximately about $80,000 a year. And the agreement that we have signed is a 5-year agreement.
And how many, which officers will, is it just the frontline officers? Are special constables involved? Are the auxiliary involved? At what levels will be receiving the body-worn cameras?
I forget how many cameras offhand we're going to purchase, but it'd at least be all the frontline officers, and it could be the special constables, but that's kind of an operational type of thing. The chief will look after that.
How much money is generated by the background checks?
Well, we've had a pretty strong year this year, Rob. It would even have been better if COVID didn't have to deal with that. But it's a good substantial number, and I'd rather not say.
Why is that?
Well, we have other services looking at our business services division, and it's a substantial dollar, and we, out of that money, we pay for all the capital costs of the corporation, cars and cameras and guns and tasers and all that. So it's substantial, and we do, for the future, we're building reserves for a number of different issues that we might have to face in the future, like a new police station and things like that. So the dollars are substantial, and we're very thankful of that business services that produce that kind of money, and the taxpayers, frankly, should be thankful that we do run that operation, because it does save them a lot of money over the year.
Well, I could hear some people hearing that and saying, but hold on a second, you guys are a public body. The police force is a public service, and there should be transparency. How would you respond to those people by not releasing these figures and giving us the exact amount, so that if we're to be grateful, we'd at least know we're grateful to what amount?
Well, I would say I give you a rough figure, we probably net around a couple million dollars. After, because the operation pays completely for itself. There's no taxpayers' dollars going into business services, so it funds the whole operation, and probably it nets out to about $2.5 million.
I noticed in the budget you have a number of special projects. There's the police ambassador program, there's the domestic violence enhancement, respectful workplace project. And I grant you, all those projects seem very worthwhile. Yet the board spends $100,000 on the police accelerator program, which is a joint venture with Venture 13, where entrepreneurs come up with innovations in technology that can be used by police. Now, while there's no doubt this is a great project and it brings innovation to police, but it is also a lot of money. It's enough, in fact, for a salary for a person. So why aren't you using this money to hire a full-time officer or maybe a mental health worker or expand the mental health emergency MHART program?
Well, we do operate an MHART program now that has a mental health nurse along with a constable, and that's run through our normal day-to-day operation. So that's a very important piece of the operation, and that's up and running now. The Police Tech Accelerator, we're a highly innovative and technology-based kind of mind at the board and at the service. So these monies that we spend on innovation, and just let you know that innovation fund is also funded by our business services, so the taxpayers don't see any of that either. But it's a very important, it's a first of its kind police tech accelerator in Canada, and it certainly bears fruit. It was very big in the CCTV camera grant that we got from the federal government, or provincial government, I should say. And there's other things that have gone on within that Police Tech Accelerator that the service has gained a lot of innovation and technology through. So it's a very important part. If you want to be innovative, I mean, we could just sit back and do the normal stuff, but it's important to be innovative in any business or any service you provide. And Police Tech Accelerator is a very important part to the police service.
You mentioned the CCTV grant that you received. Have any of the cameras been installed yet?
There are a small number of cameras have just been operationalized as a kind of a test, yes.
But they haven't been installed permanently? Because the last time I talked to the chief, he said they hadn't been installed.
They are now, they're going to stay, I would imagine.
Okay. Yeah. Because the last time I talked to the chief.
The project is still gaining speed, I guess you could say. And there are some other issues that were involved in with that project. So that's still ongoing. And it'll probably be the summer by the time they're all up and running and where we want them to be.
In August of last year, there was a press conference held on John Street to assure Cobourg residents that the streets were safe. What came of that initiative, and can you give us an update? Because that was back in August.
Well, that press conference was to show the actual neighbors and community that every part of the municipality services were involved and working together to reduce crime in that particular area. We had gotten received a lot of complaints regarding that area and the amount of issues there. And I think it was important that the municipality as a whole shows that they're not going to tolerate that kind of behavior. And so, pretty well, all municipal governments that would actually, or all municipal departments that would actually deal with those kinds of issues, were there on the same day, standing together, saying, we're going to, you know, pull out all the stops and try to fix this.
Can you show demonstrably that the streets are safer and that neighborhood has improved since then?
I think it has. Sometimes you fix one problem one place and it moves to another. We see that sometimes. So I think the area is safer.
Do you have any instances or anecdotes or some stats that you could provide that would demonstrably show that that's the case now?
No, I'd have to get the service to pull our calls for service for that, but I don't have those at my fingertips.
But your sense of it is that it's safer now?
Yes, and some of the issues have moved. So it's...
What does that mean when you say something is moved? Just so the listeners can understand what that means.
Well, when we try to fix certain things in one area, sometimes they can move to another area of the town. But, you know, the service is knowledgeable of that and dealing with those issues now.
The use of opioids in the community is at a crisis level. What are the board's plans for 2022 to address this growing problem?
Well, that is certainly a big issue going forward. And when we did our survey for the STRAT plan that's being put together at this point in time, it came back as one of the communities, one of their biggest issues was drugs prevention, support, and enforcement. So we're going to deal with that in our strategic plan to try to. It's a fight. You can't win by yourself, and it's a fight that I don't know if you'll ever win. But we can certainly put a damper on it here in Cobourg, and we do that through our criminal investigation branch with some of the search warrants that you've seen in the press over the last little while.
Dean, what is on the horizon for the Cobourg Police Force in 2022?
things that we just put into place late last year that we hope are going to benefit the service and the town. We've put in place a chief financial officer, and we hired a new deputy chief. So we're just getting them worked into the system of the Coburg Police Service. But looking forward, we have a strategic plan that's going to be rolled out to the board. I think it's in February, and to the public in March. We have some new ideas for the Police Tech Accelerator. We are also have a community safety innovation fund that we talked about to council at our budget presentations. You'll hear more about that community safety innovation fund coming up shortly. Something interesting you might want to know is our police vehicles. We purchased some new vehicles at the end of last year. They were fully, gasoline driven. And this year we're going to purchase a hybrid. And we'll be doing a comparison, a pilot project, comparing the two different types of vehicles, and see if we can garner some savings in maintenance and fuel and that type of thing.
If you were to give one thing you personally took away from the past year, what would it be?
I think what we have found out over the past year is the municipality and the police service working together in different issues that face all of us. The chief, Paul Vandergraaf, sits on the EOC committee of the municipality, and when COVID hit, the service and the municipality worked well together. There was some interactions with the building and fire departments throughout the last year. And I think it's important that we see the benefits of working as one rather than silos.
Dean Pepper, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Anytime, Rob. It's a pleasure.
That was Coburg Police Board Chairperson Dean Pepper. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.